Fall temperatures have arrived, even if the autumn equinox has not. We will get the lowdown on the fall and winter weather outlook this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, September 12th. Well, I don't know about you, but I miss the summer that we did not have, in my opinion. And it's a lot colder right now than I like it to be. How about you? How do you like this weather? Are you excited for colder temps and the thought of snow in the not too distant future? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Chad Franzen, meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning, Joy. How are you doing on this Friday morning?
I'm doing all right, but I was a little bit chilly. I should have had a jacket on this morning. I just had a suit coat, and I was cold. How did it get so cold all of a sudden?
You know, right behind that storm system that brought the heavier rainfall just a couple days ago, we had the cooler weather push in. This cold weather goes all the way back to Montana and Wyoming, and even places like the Rapid City, the Black Hills, South Dakota had several inches of snow from this past storm system last couple days. So we have some cooler weather settling in across most of the upper Midwest.
I guess we can count our blessings, at least I can, that we didn't get 5 inches of snow. I saw 5 inches of snow with Mount Rushmore in the background.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did have a few flurries reported a couple nights ago across parts of the Northwoods, but other than that, it's been relatively quote-unquote dry, but certainly a cool one this morning. Temperatures are starting out in the upper 20s across the far northern part of Wisconsin.
Cold enough for snow if it were raining, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this time of year, we typically see our first frost of the year, and for those that kind of look forward to that first frost, we can get over the hump, so to speak. We can get into more of a typical, like, Indian summer-type weather pattern. And it actually looks like we are going to warm up a little bit next week. So our temperature should return back to the 60s and 70s, more reminiscent of where we should be for this point in September.
Well, that's good to know. Frost on the pumpkin, though, in northern Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Temperatures starting out in the 20s, and we had several frost and freeze warnings in effect from last night for about the northern third of Wisconsin. We'll have a handful of those again going into tonight. And then once we get past tonight, things start warming up a little bit. So after we get past tonight, if people want to take care and cover up things, we should be good at least until we get around to the end of next week.
All right. You mentioned the snow in South Dakota, earliest measurable snowfall in Rapid City and some other areas in South Dakota. What about Wisconsin? Flurries don't count for that, right?
No, not necessarily. And we've had flurries at times, especially in the northern part of Wisconsin, as early as late August. So, overall, things have been a little cool, especially from this past summer. July ended up on a cool note for every location. Temperatures were below normal. August turned out to be a pretty seasonal and typical month, as our average highs were back in the 70s where they should have been for this time of year. And now we're cooling things off, at least for the short term. Long term, we'll wait and see. But as we set up going into fall, which is just about a week and a half away, we'll be looking at some typical September-like weather across Wisconsin.
Well, I guess I can handle that, a typical September-like weather. But this is typical, what, October-type weather?
Yeah, absolutely. Average highs right now should be in the low 70s, mid-70s in the southern part of the state. And right now, for today, most highs will only be in the 50s. That's more reminiscent of about the last part of October. So we'll get a little taste of fall, even though fall doesn't officially begin until the 22nd.
Well, Joe on Facebook says, looks like it might be a long, cold winter again. I think I have to move somewhere warmer. Now, what do we know about the winter outlook? The Farmer's Almanac said we're going to have a bitter cold of winter, but I take it you don't follow the Farmer's Almanac predictions.
Well, you know, we watch a lot of those things, and the Farmer's Almanac is kind of a secret formula, and they were the first to come out and say a bitterly cold winter and also snowier than normal type winter. Same thing was predicted last winter, and it certainly panned out. This winter is a little different. It still looks like El Nino is trying to kick in a little bit, although it is not as strong as it looked a couple of months ago. So as El Nino kicks in, that would probably lead us to be a little more mild of winter, although snowfall could certainly be either side of the average. So we'll wait and see. But for right now, at least looks like the start of winter coming up in the next couple months should be very seasonal. And we'll probably see our first snowfall and accumulation for most areas at some point in December.
So remind us why El Nino matters when it comes to our winter.
El Nino is an abnormal warming of the ocean waters out in the Pacific Ocean. What happens is there's a big process, and it sounds like a big deal, and it kind of is. We call it teleconnections, where if the water warms up in the ocean, that influences the weather pattern across most of the country. El Nino typically brings Wisconsin warmer than normal conditions, especially for January, February, March. Now, keep in mind that average temperatures in the 20s, if that's warmer than that, we may actually get a better snow-to-water ratio. So while temperatures may be a little more warm compared to the average for winter, snowfall could be a little higher or lower than normal, depending on how it all sets up. So for those looking for the bitter cold, if El Nino kicks in, we probably won't have the bitterly cold weather, but we certainly could have still some snowy weather at times, especially for the early part of next year.
So I want to root for El Nino, don't I, if I want it to be warmer?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're sick of the below zero temperatures and the bitterly cold temperatures, El Nino is your best friend.
Go El Nino. We are talking with Chad Franzen, a meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau, and we are talking about the weather. So are you ready for fall or winter? What questions do you have about our fall or our winter weather outlook? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Your questions about all things weather are welcome. We'll also talk about some related things. We're going to talk about the Northern Lights possibly making an appearance this weekend, tonight. And we'll find out from Chad where we might be able to see those Northern Lights. And again, welcome any questions or complaints about the weather that you might have. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
The falling leaves drift by the window.
We are talking about our fall weather, our early fall weather. Fall temperatures have arrived. The official autumn equinox has not. That's not until next week. We are talking about our weather outlook for fall and winter and welcoming any weather-related questions you might have at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Chad Franzen, a meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau. And you know, Chad, I want to ask you about the Northern Lights, but the Nat King Cole song there of Falling Leaves reminded me of our turning, our leaves turning color. Do you have any of that already occurring in the Wausau area?
Yeah, we do a little bit, and especially as you get farther north, some of the fall color is starting to show up a little bit. And the Travel Wisconsin Department of Tourism has already issued the first fall color report of the year, and we'll start seeing these kind of accelerate a little bit here in the next couple of weeks, especially since about the northern third of Wisconsin had a frost this morning, and frost will be likely for about the northern half of Wisconsin later tonight and into tomorrow morning. So things will start getting a little bit of a jump start, so to speak, as we get closer to fall, which officially begins at 9:29 on September 22nd.
Okay, 9:29, September 22nd. Do you can you give us a real brief science lesson on changing leaves? Is that and what the weather has to do with it?
Yeah, you know, what happens is you start getting to the end of the growing season, and trees and plants especially start getting accustomed to that. So you start getting those cooler temperatures at night, and it all has to do with, trees trying to live and plants trying to live. Well, you start getting into that frozen area where you're under 32 degrees, and you start having issues with ice and water and stuff like that happens in the plants as well as everything else. So they start sensing that things are going to be starting to shut down for the season, so that's when the eventually the leaves are the first to kind of get shut down for water supply, then to the stems, and then to the branches, and then to the trunk. So it's a long process, but it happens every year, and we're getting to that point where fall is going to kind of take over.
Yeah, and do we are you predicting an outstanding, spectacular fall color season, or don't you do that?
It'll be really dependent upon what happens here in the next couple of weeks. For the northern half of Wisconsin, temperatures, especially tonight, will be back in the 20s and low 30s. So that kind of signifies that at least the northern half of the state will start seeing those fall colors really start blossoming here in the next week or two. Until the southern part of the state starts seeing that frosty temperatures in the low 30s and some upper 20s will probably be a little more prolonged. But usually the peak of the fall color season in northern Wisconsin is that last week of September. In southern Wisconsin, it's usually that third week of October. So it's kind of a north-to-south kind of thing that happens here going into the course of about the next month, month and a half.
Well, I do look forward to that. That is so gorgeous. And I think I might have told you once before, but when I lived in the Wausau area, one of my favorite fall color places in the whole world was just north of Wausau as you're driving to Merrill. It's so pretty. So let's talk about the solar flares that that occurred yesterday or the day before, and what that's going to mean when it comes to the northern lights.
Yeah, you know, we had a solar flare come off. A couple of them actually came off of the sun late Wednesday, and now it takes a couple days for it to travel to the Earth, and that's where we're at right now. We did have a little bit of a northern light show last night across the far northern part of Wisconsin. The better chance for northern lights and a good geomagnetic storm. And using the big scientific terms, the better chance will still be for tonight into early tomorrow morning. Mother Nature right now is not going to cooperate initially with a lot of cloud cover across Wisconsin, but as we start seeing our skies clear out overnight, we'll get a pretty good chance for a good magnetic show into the overnight period. And that should bring us a pretty good vivid display of northern lights, especially before about the northern half, northern two-thirds of Wisconsin.
Wow, that's on my bucket list. I saw a map that said that the northern lights possibly, depending on where you were, with, you know, spots of poor and fair and good, it was almost halfway down the nation.
Yeah, absolutely. When we get these kind of solar storms, northern lights usually confined to maybe far northern Wisconsin, but more so for southern Canada most of the time. But we get this little extra push of some, let's say, electrical activity coming in. From the sun all the way to the Earth. Now you get to push it farther southward. And while we had some reports of northern lights being seen at times across parts of Iowa and Nebraska, we'll see it probably even farther southward later tonight into early tomorrow morning for the northern lights to be seen across the northern about third, two-thirds of America. And, you know, when we get these type of events, that's when you get the vivid greens and blues and some oranges in there. It's a very worthwhile to take a look at, although, again, tonight that cloud cover is going to be an issue, at least initially, but the sky should clear, especially after midnight.
Yeah. All right. Well, have to stay up late and see if we can see anything. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Chad Franzen, a meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau, talking about solar storms and northern lights, talking about fall color, talking about our temperatures, our cold snap that we're having as we speak, and when that is going to go away, and welcoming any weather-related questions you have. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And wondering if you are looking forward to colder weather, to winter-like conditions, or are you someone who's sad to see the summer go? We have Marsha on Facebook who says, I love this weather. Thank you, Mother Nature, for turning on the natural central air. Well, I don't know about that, Marsha. It's a little colder than that. Well, maybe not. It is, but I understand. So some people love it and some people don't. Right, Chad?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of usually this time of year, a lot of people are either really looking forward to fall and the pumpkin spice lattes and the corn mazes and the eventually Halloween and the beautiful colors. And then you've got the elders and a lot of people saying, whatever happened to summer? We really didn't have much of that. And it went by way too quickly, like it always does.
Yeah, we have Terry from Racine who says, it seems every season has been cooler than normal. How does this year rank historically? Is it cooler than ever?
It's cooler than it should have been for summertime across most of the state of Wisconsin. And even though June, July, and August in particular, those three summer-like months, seem to be relatively cool, the average temperature was only a degree or so below the average as we went into July. And August, actually, for most locations, was seasonal or a little bit above normal. So the summer seems like it was relatively cold and everything else, but doesn't rank in the top 10 by any means whatsoever across the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. What about for precipitation? How are we doing along those lines?
For the northern two-thirds of Wisconsin, the last month has made a big difference. We initially started off with kind of a wet season in May, and then things dried out a bit in June. And then we had those storms kind of kick up at the last part of July through early August. And that's where we've had some very heavy rainfall in the northern two-thirds of Wisconsin. So precipitation-wise, if you take basically U.S. Highway 10 that goes through the point, the Fox Cities area and northward, August has been, and September has started off as a very wet month. If you go from U.S. Highway 10 a little farther southward, we're at a typical clip at this point, average precipitation so far for the month.
Yeah. Are we going to get there was predictions that at least in southern Wisconsin, we were supposed to get nailed with, a half a foot of rain or something like that. And it didn't happen. What happened there?
Well, the storm system kind of split. We had two parts of it. We had a lot of heavy rainfall that was in southern Minnesota and especially Iowa and ended up tracking east-southeastward and ended up going through northern Illinois. So kind of split across the state of Wisconsin after that first batch rolled through the northern two-thirds. So the southern third of Wisconsin, again, mainly highway U.S. Highway 10 southward, kind of dodged the bullet for some of that heavier rainfall. And while it has been a little dry across the southern part of Wisconsin, we'll see a little more active weather pattern, especially for today, as the weak system kicks through and brings us a few light showers, again, especially for the southern two-thirds of Wisconsin.
So because tonight I wanted to go to the Union Terrace and I wanted to enjoy the lake and see actually an outdoor dance acrobat performance on the wall of the Union Theater outdoors, it's going to rain on me?
Yeah, at least initially. It looks like the showers will come through, and we'll probably see most of this come to an end in the early evening hours for most of Wisconsin. And especially with the northern light situation, the skies will eventually clear out later tonight, and that could set the stage for a pretty good northern lights event. But, yeah, initially for especially the southern two-thirds of Wisconsin, we're looking at showers on and off here for the rest of daylight hours and even into the first part of this evening.
Let's go to Rick in Grafton. Hi, Rick.
Good morning, Joy. Just a quick thing. I'm a central Republican, and I listen to you every morning, and you're one of the most reasonable news people or humans that I've seen, and I think you ought to be syndicated nationally.
But, you're very nice.
It's true. I'm pretty fussy. But one of the things that I question is, and I go back and forth for the meteorologist, is global warming. You know, I remember during the 70s we used, trucks worth of hairspray. And is it really caused, what percentage is caused by human activity in your opinion? And what is caused by volcanic activity, earth, whatever activity that's out there that would naturally happen anyway?
Uh-oh, giving you a hard one, Chad.
Well, and Rick goes back in the 70s, the hole in the ozone is why we got away from we're called chlorofluorocarbon CFCs. That's where you had the hairspray with the stuff inside of it. So they got away from that to quit killing the ozone off, and then they found out that over the years as satellite technology got better, that the hole in the ozone had probably been there for millions of years, and it was just the fact that our technology caught up to the fact that we could track some of that. So that kind of harkens back to that. Now, as far as global warming goes, you have people that really believe in it, and you have people that say, well, I'm not so sure. The biggest thing about global warming and anything that would be human nature is that keep in in mind, humans are a very small percent of the population as opposed to millions of years ago. And so now we have a period of record of 100 to 150 years of record of when the Earth has been in existence for millions of years. So when it comes to human interaction and involvement in global warming, I'm always one of those that say, yes, there's a difference that could be made by human beings and everything that they do. But keep in mind, we only have a small period of record, and we know we're coming out of a mini ice age. So things may have typically warmed up anyway. It's a question of how much is the human interaction really helping that out. And that's one of those things that I'll defer to science on, because as we move into the next 20 to 40 to 100 years, we'll be able to track those records better. It's a hard thing to say, yes, it's 100% occurring, and man's 100% responsible for it, because we just don't have a big enough sample size to say that that's exactly what is happening and exactly why it is happening.
We are talking weather with Chad Franzen, meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau, and we will continue after we check the latest news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Kerdine.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Well, there were snow flurries in parts of northern Wisconsin this week. Parts of South Dakota recorded their earliest measurable snowfall on Wednesday. Is a measurable snowfall in the near future for Wisconsin? We are talking about the weather this hour. And we're welcoming your questions and your opinions of our weather at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Kerdine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Chad Franzen, a meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau, about all things weather-related. And again, we are welcoming your questions and your input, not just on our current cold snap, but the outlook for the rest of the fall and the winter, northern lights, fall colors, other weather trends that we should be that may matter to you. We have Gaia on Facebook who says, anyone complaining about winter in the north needs to get the heck out of here. Sorry, Gaia. I'm sick of all the whining. I'll take cold winters with smaller bugs any day. All right, we get it. I'm not, you know, I love all four seasons in Wisconsin. I really do. I love parts of all of the seasons. I just happen to be someone who prefers summer weather to a bitterly cold winter weather. And I'm just not a huge fan of winter driving. So that puts a damper on winter for me. But I love playing in the snow. So I'm not a winter hater. What about you, Chad? Are you a lover of all seasons or do you have a favorite?
Well, it seems like especially this year, we just got through winter and we got into road construction season. Now we're going back to winter. So it just kind of seems that way this year around again.
Well, and it was an unusually brutal winter last winter, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we started off, as we got into October, things were looking okay. November started turning a little cooler. And then we got into December of last year, and it stayed pretty much below seasonal levels for high temperatures, low temperatures, and then above normal precipitation from December all the way through May. And we still had ice on the lakes in the Northwoods till middle of May, just like the year before. So at least, you know, the Farmer's Almanac is a little more dire than what the National Weather Service is thinking for this winter. And the bigger thing, as we talked about at the top of the hour, is what will happen if El Nino really kind of kicks in. Right now, El Nino has been quiet. It looked like it was going to be a pretty strong event. Now it's not necessarily a very strong event, but if El Nino really does kick in, that would certainly influence our temperatures going into, especially that January through March time frame.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, when do we know if El Nino is truly going to kick in and do me a favor?
Well, you know, it's out there. The abnormally warm waters of the Pacific Ocean are there right now. It's not very strong. Normally, we're looking for what we call anomalies, where we see the average temperature of the Pacific Ocean, in particular along the equator, we look for anomalies in that where they'll be 1, 2, or 3 degrees above the average. And right now we're kind of at that 0.4 to 0.5 warming phase. And the basically the next month or so will kind of give us a telltale if it's going to kick in and how strong it's going to be. Usually we get very typical weather patterns and very typical El Nino or La Ninas and very few in between. So last couple of years have actually been pretty static and not necessarily El Nino or La Nina. So we'll see what happens. La Nina would lead us to a cooler than normal and a storier than normal weather pattern. El Nino leads us to warmer than normal conditions. But snowfall is either way, because you warm things up in January from average highs in the 20s to around 30, you get a better snow-to-water ratio. So El Nino at least help out temperature-wise, but snowfall-wise is kind of a horse apiece, at least until that pattern sets up.
Vincent in Waukesha is with us. Hi, Vincent.
Hi, good morning.
Morning. Go ahead with your question, Vincent.
Sorry? Oh, okay. My question is, a couple years ago, I saw this glorious double rainbow, and usually the second one is fainter than the primary one. And I noticed, as I was lying back on the asphalt taking in the glory, that the colors on the second rainbow are in reverse order from the first. And I was wondering, how could the light yielding to the same laws of physics reverse the order of the colors?
Hmm.
Well, you're talking about the visible wavelength in the spectrum. So it's the right OGBIV, and then it's backwards. And it all has to do with the way that the sun comes through and is hitting the drops that is scattering the prism. So it's basically a law of refraction that when the first sunlight comes in, you get the rainbow one color. The exact opposite happens because of the spectrum and the droplets on the exact opposite side. So that's why you see those commonly reversed, is because of the fact that the sunlight's hitting the exact opposite side of the spectrum. It's all about the tricking of the naked eye, so to speak, but it's all about the visible spectrum and the way the light comes in from the sun.
Those are, I'm with you, Vincent. I've seen a lot of those double rainbows recently. Thanks very much for the call. Do you have a question for Chad Franzen, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So, Chad, can you tell us anything about the harvest moon, which happened to also be a super harvest moon that we saw, I think it was Monday?
Yeah, the last of the super moons for the 2014 year. What we get is on occasion some of the full moons come in and they end up, the super moon is when you get a moon that's closer to Earth than normal, and it has to do with the way the pattern of the Earth revolves around the sun, the moon revolves around the Earth, and so that was the last of the super moons. The harvest moon is the last one before the fall season, the last full moon, I should say. So this super moon we have on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday nights, that was the last full moon we'll have that is the super moon that has also happened to be right before fall. The next full moon will occur after fall and therefore won't be called the harvest moon. I'm trying to remember what the October moon was called. It might be something else, but It was the last super moon of the year, meaning the last of the close ones, so to speak.
We have a couple of people who are calling in who want to talk more about global warming. And you know what, listeners, I don't want to make this a global warming climate change debate hour. This is really an hour for us to talk about weather-related phenomenon and the fall weather, the winter weather, rainbows, moons, that kind of thing, and not turning it into a debate over global warming. However, let me just get you to react to this, Chad. We have sometimes when it's cold out, and when we have a brutally cold winter, and when we have an early cold snap in the fall, our summer seems cooler than usual. People say, Well, this just goes to show that, you know, global warming is a farce because it's cold outside. Yet others will say just because the weather is cold where you are doesn't mean temperatures aren't rising globally, that there is there has been a rise in temperatures globally, even if a particular season where we live, it's colder.
You know, and that's one thing that, you know, science is eventually going to figure things out. You know, the global warming theory, there's two sides to it. There's one that says man is causing global warming, and there's also the fact that maybe naturally this is happening by itself. So far this year, the average temperature, at least in this country, this summer, things have been a little cooler than normal. But keep in mind, you're talking about a global scale. You're talking about more than just this country when you're talking about the average temperatures and stuff like that. And I think at the end of the day, when the science gets caught up to the technology and we understand things better, we'll have a better handling on what officially is global warming and what role man has, if it does have a hand in what is changing out there throughout the country. As I mentioned in the beginning, you know, toward the beginning of the hour, we have a very small period of record where we have written records for temperatures and precipitation and all that kind of stuff, and you're basing that on millions of years, and so that's a hard sell, especially for anybody that believes in statistics and mathematics, is if you flip the coin once, you get heads. Are you going to get heads the next 99 times? But at the same time, if man is causing, or if there are factors that are causing global warming, it's hard to see it right now because we're in the middle of a period of record in science that has caught up to where we are today. So I think as we get into the next, especially 50 to 100 years, you'll have a better understanding. Science, a lot of scientists believe it's happening, yes, 100%, and there are some that don't believe that. And I think as we get a little more due diligence and get a little more science and math and information into this, we'll be able to better say, yes, 100%, this is happening, this is the reason why. I don't think today we can say, yes, 100%, this is the reason why it's happening, this is the reason why.
We are talking about, we are complaining about, we are cheering about our weather, depending on your perspective. And we welcome your questions for our guest meteorologist, Chad Franzen from WSAW-TV in Wausau. Here to let us know what sort of weather we can expect for this coming fall. The autumn equinox is about a week away or so, even though it feels a lot like fall right now, temperature-wise, with the cold snap. And talking some about the winter outlook, talking about the different factors that influence our weather, and welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're going to talk about wind coming up after the break. There are some gales of September for Lake Superior this week, and we have a question from one of our listeners. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
It's all part of my autumn almanac. Breeze blows leaves of a musty colored yellow.
We are talking about our early fall weather and welcoming your thoughts and questions about weather in general. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talking with Chad Franzen, who is a meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau. So Renee on Facebook asks, I have been noticing that in the last 20-plus years, the winds have increased in intensity and duration. Is this true, and if so, why? Do you have any idea if it's becoming windier, Chad?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that I think as people get a little more in tune with their surroundings that, you know, you always hear, well, this doesn't snow like it used to. And, you know, those are things that people, as they get a little more accustomed to being outdoors and in the elements, they start, you know, making these assumptions. The actual average wind speed has been pretty constant across most of the upper Midwest. And the reason why we look at these things is, especially lately in the last 10 to 20 years, a lot of companies are looking at doing wind farms and trying to find alternative methods for wind. So these studies come out pretty much every five to ten years about average wind speeds and what they're doing. They've actually been pretty static and pretty stagnant across most of the upper Midwest. But, you know, there are times where the wind really howls and there are times where it doesn't. You know, and that's just what happens when you have the change of the weather patterns across a good portion of the nation.
Yeah, so we had some gale warnings, didn't we, for Lake Superior this week?
Yeah, in fact, there was some great video, especially from the National Weather Service in Marquette, where the north wind was so choppy that it was actually blowing on top of the roads across the lakeshore along Lake Superior. So we see that happen, but not necessarily this early in the season. Usually it's a typical October event where you get a really strong wind behind a storm system like we just had, where you get a south-southwesterly wind, and all of a sudden you get a strong north-northwesterly wind, and that's what it happens. This time around, it happened to happen just in the this past month, as opposed to maybe more so for October, November.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the hurricane season. What are we, about halfway through the Atlantic hurricane season? No single named storms yet. First time since 1992 that's happened. Is that good news?
Yeah, you know, we always have the prediction come out from Dr. Gray in Colorado State that comes out with his predictions for the season, mentioning that we'd have, if I remember correctly, the revision was up to 11 named storms and one or two only to affect the United States. So there's been several different waves and tropical storms that have come off and depressions that have come off the coast of Africa, but nothing really has gotten any organization close to the United States. So that's been certainly a good thing. And why this is important, well, you have a lot of oil rigs that are sitting out in the Gulf of Mexico and in the southeastern part of the country. And when there's no hurricanes like this, you don't have a disruption in the supply. And that's, you know, one of those reasons why gas prices haven't spiked. Sometimes at this point in the year, when hurricanes have affected the Gulf Coast and rigs have been shut down or even damaged, then you start to see a spike in gas prices. So we haven't seen that yet. And again, that's certainly some good news, not only for the people in the southeastern United States, but for the consumer as well, as we don't have a disruption in the gas supply.
Mm-hmm. So are there any other noteworthy weather trends around the country?
You know, the biggest thing right now has been in the last couple of months, and for the last couple of years for that matter, the western part of California right up into the western part of Oregon has been in a really dire straits type drought. There's a lot of water rationing going on in the western part of California. This week they saw flooding rainfall in eastern part of California in the desert areas, southern Nevada and southwestern Utah, where you had completely the opposite. You had a lot of rainfall that fell. And keep in mind, when you're in a desert terrain like that, an inch of rain becomes a big deal in a short period of time. While here in Wisconsin, just in the last week, we've had a couple 2 to 4 inch rain events. And yes, we had water levels that rose and we had some issues. It's nothing like what an inch or two of water does on the desert terrain. So the western third of the nation is kind of a little bit tipsy-turvy, so to speak, where you've got them right along the coast is where we've got some major issues with drought. And then you get right inside in the eastern part of the Sierra Nevadas into the Rocky Mountain chain, especially eastern California, Nevada, northern Arizona, and Utah, that there are places that had way too much rain in a short period of time. But other than that, the country has been kind of quiet, and not necessarily in a bad way. You know, the lack of storms and activity in the last couple of days is certainly some good news because it doesn't disrupt as many people's lives. You obviously don't have to worry about severe weather as much. Wisconsin severe weather season is typically over at this point, but what we've seen in the last couple of years is that severe weather sometimes does occur as late as early October. So we're not by any far stretch of the means out of severe weather season yet in Wisconsin, although we are past its peak, so to speak.
Let's take another call from Helene in Norwalk. Hi, Helene.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your show every day. It's wonderful. I was just calling to say this is the first year I'm becoming a snowbird. I can't take these winters anymore. It's already fall here. It feels like winter. I have the heat on. It's time to go. So this is a gorgeous state. It really is. I did 23,000 miles on a motorcycle just in Wisconsin. It's a beautiful state. The people are wonderful here, and they really are. But these winters, really, that's enough. That's really enough for me. So,
well, you'll come back.
On the train.
You will come back, though, Helene.
Yeah, in April, I hope.
Okay.
April.
Well,
that's the goal.
Happy travels. She's not going to wait to see if it's El Nino or El Nina, Chad.
A lot of people are just saying, get me out of the state at this point, especially after what's happened last year. And the year before, temperatures were closer to normal a couple of years ago, but we still had a snowier than normal winter. And Helene is probably not alone in the fact that getting out of the state and becoming a snowbird for the first time.
Well, we just saw in the State Journal here in Madison that in Madison, today's high isn't even as warm as the normal low for this time of year. So
yeah.
our high today, I guess, is going to be 50, and that's usually the around the low.
Yeah, absolutely. The average high in southern Wisconsin still is in the mid to upper 70s, and today almost everybody will be about 15 to 20 degrees below the average. And the highs today more reminiscent of where the lows should be at night. And so you'll see there'll be a few record high minimums, which for record keeping purposes are one thing. For the average person, it just means it's going to be a cool day. But a record high minimum is the high temperature for the day is the lowest it's ever been in the period of record. And I think we'll see some record high minimums set today. And maybe some record lows tonight, but most of the low temperatures and record lows are in the 20s and some lower 30s. So we may not see quite as many record lows tonight. Temperatures will be really dependent on the cloud cover and when it breaks up. But keep in mind, when the cloud cover does break up, we could have a pretty good northern light show tonight. So definitely worthwhile keeping an eye on that northern sky, especially after midnight.
Yeah. And we are going to next week get back into more seasonal temps?
Yeah, temperatures should be back into the 60s, well in the 60s by early next week. And we should see the low 70s by the middle of next week as well. The average highs will be a little bit below that, but will be certainly more typical weather pattern as we get into especially that Tuesday through Friday time frame next week.
Well, that is good to know. And what's your prediction for the first measurable snowfall, Chad?
I think we're right now, because of how the Canada geese are coming southward and stuff like that, usually it's a typical 5 to 6 weeks after. I think that puts us on track for a measurable snowfall of 1 inch or more for the northern half of Wisconsin as early as late October, and for most of Wisconsin by at least early November. Keep in mind that's the first snowfall, and the ground temperatures are still pretty warm, so it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to stick around for a long period of time.
Well, stay warm, Chad. Thanks a lot for being with us.
It's been great, Joy. Thank you. Have a great day and a great weekend.
Chad Franzen, meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau. And thanks very much to Bill Martins and Christy Taylor for producing this program, and to Brianne Chasso for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Coming up, it's the Week in Review. We'll talk about the top political news stories of the week. Monday at this time, it's our State Capitol Report. We will hear from two state lawmakers, a Republican and a Democrat, talking about the state's projected budget deficit. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.